chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3 this evening. Joshua and the children of Israel have now come to the border of the promised land. The Lord had told Joshua after the death of Moses that he was now to be the leader of the nation and take them in to the land of Canaan. But God did not simply give Joshua a command to take them in. He gave Joshua promises to hold on to as he took the people into the land. The Lord promised Joshua, I won't leave you, I won't forsake you. He said, as I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. There will not be a man that will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And everywhere the sole of your foot touches, Joshua, I have given it to you already. It's yours. And so Joshua has this calling of God. He has these promises of God. And now it is his job to prepare the people to cross over the Jordan. Joshua sets to the task of getting the people ready for this, really, this impossibility, crossing a rushing river that's overflowing its banks. And so Joshua, in order to prepare the people, calls them to sanctify themselves. And in the midst of preparation, you recall, he sent over 2 spies to kind of observe the land, specifically Jericho. And the spies went, they hid in the home of Rahab. They got a full report of what the heart of the people was like. Rahab said, we're all afraid. We know that God's given you the land. I know that your God is a true God and we're history. And I want to side with you. And you remember Rahab decides to make a covenant with them and enters into a relationship with the nation of Israel. And she's spared eventually. We'll see that. But these 2 spies come back. They bring Joshua the report. And they tell Joshua of all that Rahab had told them. And Joshua now is confident. And he says, this is the Lord. I know this is the Lord. We're going to take the land. And so now he's preparing the people, concluding that God had delivered the land into their hands because of all the enemies were now faint-hearted. And so the next major step is crossing the Jordan River. Now, I want you to keep in mind that crossing the Jordan River, going into the land of Canaan, does not illustrate for us in the New Testament sense a soul of a person going from death into heaven. Sometimes people sing songs about Canaan land and they describe it as heaven. But from the scriptures, there's not going to be any battles in heaven. We mentioned that. Rather, for us in a New Testament sense, the illustration of crossing from the wilderness into the promised land is illustrating for us really the end of the self-life. The end of the self-life and entering into the Spirit-led life. End of wandering as a believer and really entering into what God has for us. The Lord said to his people at one point, you have spent enough time wandering around this wilderness. It's now time to cross over. It's now time to go in to what God has for you. And so the crossing of the Jordan for the nation, well, it was a complete impossibility apart from the assistance of the Lord. And there's one other thing. I believe personally, and you could probably attest to this, that there are times when God will bring you in your own Christian life to an impossibility, a Jordan crossing, if you would. I find it happening more than once in my life. I mean, I'm in the Spirit-led, Spirit-filled life, but there are impossibilities that God brings me to the edge and says, all right, John, I want you to put your foot in the water and watch what happens. But what if I get swept away? You know, there's this nervousness about walking by faith, but this is what God's called us to. So let's look at this together, beginning in chapter 3, looking at verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. And then he tells them the space that is to be between them and the ark. And the reason why, do not come near it, that you may know the way which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. The nation of Israel is now entering into a time of preparation. And so they're lodging in this place for 3 days, waiting for further instructions from the Lord. And so now that Joshua comes and says, this is what we're going to do. In 3 days, we're going to cross over. And he tells the people, you need to remain focused. You need to keep your eyes on the ark. Because when the ark starts to move, that's when you're supposed to move. And if the ark's not moving, then you stay put. Now, normally, the Ark of the Covenant, when the nation of Israel would be in a particular place, camping out in the wilderness, for example, usually the Ark of the Covenant was in the center. It was at the very center of their existence, all of their tents, everything. It all faced the Ark. It was all about the focus being on God. He's in the center of the camp. He's in the center of our lives. He leads and He guides and He directs us. But now the Lord says the Ark is not going to be in the center. It's going to go in front of you. It's going to go before you, and you're to follow the lead, not the usual position. And the Lord says there's to be a space between the people and the ark, as we mentioned last week. The reason for this is so that they can keep their eye on the ark and know which direction to go. You're not to get ahead of the ark. You're not to get so far behind that you don't know where you're going. You're to stay in close proximity that in order that you can see it, because you've never passed this way before. You've never gone this way before. And it's going to be so important for you to keep your eyes on the Lord. And therein lies a spiritual implication for us, doesn't there? An application? Hey, there's plenty of places God's going to lead you. Things God's going to take you in you. You've never been before. You don't know anything about this. I don't know anything about it. And so God's saying, hey, John, listen to me. You need to keep your eyes on me, man. Don't get so far away that you don't see me. And don't you start getting ahead of me thinking, come on, Lord, you follow me. No, no, I follow. He leads. It's so much better that way. I encourage you to do that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, Joshua tells the people here that they are to sanctify themselves. To sanctify themselves. Probably what they were supposed to do is kind of what Moses said back in Exodus chapter 19. Wash their clothes, bathe, get cleaned up and all, ready to go over and cross over the Jordan land. There was this Jordan River, into the promised land. There was this washing of the garments, symbolically representing a purification, a sanctification, of being set apart, the dirt being removed and cleansed in order that they might be able to follow the Lord and share in the event and come close to the holy Lord, God of Israel, and be ceremonially clean. Again, I think there is perhaps an application for us in that as well. Joshua said, hey, purify yourselves, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow you're going to see the work of the Lord. He didn't say tomorrow you're going to see the work of the Lord. He said, sanctify yourselves, and then you're going to see the work of the Lord. I think there is something very important. If we want to see the wonders of the Lord, if we want to see the Lord working in our life, moving in our life, there's a need, guys, listen, to be set apart, to be sanctified, to seek to live a holy life, pure and unspotted from the world. And to keep ourselves in the love of God, as the book of Jude tells us. That's where God wants us to be. I don't want to be caught up in filth and caught up in dirt and think, well, where's the work of the Lord? I might miss it. And so the Lord says, hey, I need to keep myself unspotted from the world, not get saturated in the world, because I want to see the work of God. I want to be, Lord, a pure vessel that you can pour into and pour through and pour out. I want to be pure, Lord, so I want to keep myself holy. The Bible says to be holy. As the Lord is holy. And that's not some negative thing or some... Sometimes people look at that as, you know, you think of holy and the first picture that comes into your mind is, well, I don't know, maybe a chapel with statues. Now that's holy. No, not necessarily. It could be very unholy. But needless to say, it talks about a sanctified life, a set apart life. And sometimes, you know, you hear people say, in fact, I even heard it today. A fellow was telling me, I was talking to so-and-so and, you know, he was doing this and doing that. This is somebody who doesn't fellowship here, but talking to this guy and this girl who claims to be a Christian and yet they're, you know, living together and all of that and doing this and doing that. And but at church, man, my friend told me they raise their hands and they worship. And I said, well, that's awesome, but they're doing it in vain. Because they're worshiping God with their lips and they're raising their hands, but in their life, there's no application of a worship-led life. It's just, I say these things, but I live totally different. I live contrary to what God says. I'm not seeking to live a holy life. I'm seeking to live the life I want to live. And God's prescribed in us for us here, guys. Listen, there are things that God's laid out to keep us pure and unspotted from the world, to live a holy life. And it is possible by the grace of God, through the Spirit of God, if we're willing. So a lot of people taking the name Jesus, and they don't even know Jesus. They don't they don't live a Christian life. And yet everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. We're Americans. Of course we're Christians. What do you think? You know, we're not Muslims, you know, or something like that. And they take that kind of a connotation. Some people take it to that extreme and so forth. But if that is the case, hey, Joshua says here, sanctify yourself so that you can see the work of God in your life. And I can tell you, man, it's so awesome when you do come to the Lord and you do repent and you allow the Lord just to cleanse you and wash you and purify you. Isn't it amazing how things just open up? You just can sense the work of the Lord. You can see the Lord working by His Spirit. It's just like, Lord, you're so good. Lord, you're amazing. So Joshua says, sanctify yourselves. It's important to be set apart for the purposes of the Lord. Now in verse 7, and the Lord said to Joshua, this is now the second, third time now the Lord's speaking to Joshua, and he says to him, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So the Lord, first of all, says, Joshua, I'm going to bless you. The people are going to know that I'm with you. They'll know. Joshua didn't have to say, hey, listen, God's with me. I just want you all to know that. If anybody's confused, I'm the next leader. No, the Lord said, I'll promote you. I'll take care of that. You don't have to promote yourself. You don't have to try to say, hello, Joshua, you know, the anointed. No, you don't have to do that. You can just live your life and serve the Lord. And God says, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of your reputation. You just take care of your personal intimacy with the Lord, and God will take care of the rest. And so Joshua is told this, but then he's told to tell the priests to come to the edge and to stick their foot in. And then the waters are going to part. Sometimes, like the Red Sea, you know, remember what happened there? They come to the edge. Nobody's getting wet. Just lifting up the rod. The thing's parting. Let's go for it. This time, the Lord says, no, we're going to do a little different. This time I want you to come to the edge and I want you to stick your foot in and then it'll part. Oh, man, I don't know about that. I'm a little nervous about that. Has God ever done that to you in your life, Christian? Has God ever brought you to the edge and you're like, whoo, there's the edge. You know, I don't think I'm going to, I don't know. And then there's this step of faith required and you're not sure if it's going to part, but you feel like in private, in devotion, God has spoken to you and said something to you that you are holding on to, said it's going to part, John, it's going to part whoever you are, but you have got to put your foot in. Ah, you know, you put your foot in and sure enough, God comes through. I can just look back and see so many times the Lord has done that over and over. And I didn't even have any faith, really. If I had faith, it was half of a mustard seed. I mean, it wasn't even a mustard seed. It was like half. But just sticking my foot in the Jordan, as it were, some impossibility that I felt God was leading me into. And then watching the Lord do His work. God will do His work. God will do the impossible. But there's something required of me sometimes. It's walking by faith and not by sight. It'd be easy, man, if the Lord just parted the Jordan. I could just cruise. I'd run right across. I'll sprint across the Jordan. But no, I've got to put my feet in. And so they did. And so God is now bringing them to the border. And in verse 9, the edge of the waters, Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here, hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said to the people, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men of the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand as a heap. Now this is pretty amazing, because Joshua is saying something that, you know, he was there for the Red Sea, but this is an impossible thing. He's saying in absolute confidence and faith, God told me this. We're going to step in the water and it's going to part. It's going to happen. Here's how it's going to happen. The waters are going to go up as a heap. So here we go. This is how it's going to go down. He tells the people in faith this, and now they have to step into that. But here's something I totally love. I love what it says in verse 11. I have it highlighted and underlined because it says it a number of times in here. And that is those words, crossing over before you into the Jordan. Previously, it said, The ark is going to go before you, verse 6, went before the people. Verse 11, crossing over before you into the land of the Jordan. Verse 14, the ark of the covenant went before the people. Just that emphasis over and over. God goes before you. God goes before you. I don't know what awaits me when I get there, but this I can be confident in. If I'm walking with the Lord, He's gone before me. He's going before you. He's going before me. The Bible talks about the Lord preparing a path for us. He talks about making a table for us in the presence of our enemies. God goes before you. God leads. God directs. And He can take care of things long before you get there. I'm sure you've experienced that as a Christian. If you've walked with the Lord for any length of time, you're so concerned about what's before you. Oh man, what am I going to do when I get there? And how's it going to happen? And what's going to take place? And how do I deal with it? And you have in your mind gone over every possible bad case scenario of what is going to happen to the point where just walking, you're shaking because you're so worried about the worst case scenario. It's going to happen. And then you get there and you realize God went before me. He made a path in the wilderness. He made the mountains be removed and He made the crooked path straight. And I couldn't have done that. But you realize, God, You did it. You went before me. And all you can do is just praise God. You just realize, Lord, You did it. You did it. I was so worried, so consumed. Like the women going to the tomb, you remember, oh, who's going to roll away the stone? The stone. Who's going to remove it? They get there. Yeah, that's no big deal. That's already done. It's already removed. The Lord went before them. What are you concerned about tonight? What are you overwhelmed by? That's before you. I don't know how to, I'm not really sure how to. Listen, if you're a child of God, the Lord goes before you. He'll make your path straight. It's ours to trust Him. It's ours to walk it out and to see the glory of the Lord. You remember Jesus when He went to heal, raise from the dead, Lazarus. He went there and they got to the tomb. You remember? And He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to remove the stone. I want you to bring Lazarus out. Martha was like, Lord, he's been dead for like 4 days. Woo. You know, we do not want to bring the boy out. He's dead. Lord, he's been dead 4 days. If you'd have been here 4 days ago, different story. You could have prayed for him, healed him. And then Jesus said this, didn't I tell you that you would see the glory of the Lord? If you would only believe. Didn't I tell you that? And how often you come to a place and the Lord's saying, I want you to do this. And you think, oh, but didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you you'd see the glory of the Lord if you believe? And that's what God wants to do in our lives. Same God, guys. Same God here of the Old Testament. So God brings them to the edge. And now Joshua gives them the word that he had received. I like that. God speaks to him and then he speaks to the people. And so it was when the people set out, verse 14, from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. As soon as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream, they stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho, and the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Isn't that exciting? God did exactly what He said He was going to do. He said He would do that. And when they took God at His word, they found that God did just as He had promised. And the same principle applies for us. If God said it, then God will do it. If He promised it, then it's a sure thing. It says in the Bible that all the promises of God are in Him, yes and amen. They're good. You can take hold of them. And you can live by them. And that's what happened. The Lord brings them to the edge, which means God had a plan for His people. They were sanctified, set apart, prepared. And then they followed the Lord in His direction. They come to the point when they had to get their feet in the water. And when they got their feet in the water, God did exactly what He promised to do. And He parted the Jordan for them. They had to take God at His word. The impossibility faced by the power of God and faith in God's word. But look at this. I love this too. I have this underlined in verse 17. It says, until all the people had completely crossed over. It was the Lord didn't like, you know, bring the waters back halfway through. Hey, and there they went. No, it was a complete deal. He did the whole thing from start to finish. And what they had to do was take God at his word. Now, one thing the Lord did not want to see happen after this incredible experience, he never wanted the people to forget this. Never wanted them to forget all that he had done, all that he had provided by this crossing of the Jordan. He said, from this experience, you're going to know from this day forward, God's going to drive out all your enemies, that God's going to be with you. This experience right here, you're going to know for sure this is the Lord from here on out for the rest of your days. He said a monumental experience, that's the word. And so God did not want them to forget it. And so they're going to set up a memorial to remind them for years and years to come. Look what it says. And it came to pass, chapter 4, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, look at this. I love that. Just let me make note of that, because this is something I underline in my Bible again. The Lord speaks to Joshua. In verse 15 of chapter 4, the Lord speaks to Joshua. You go back to chapter 2, the Lord speaks to Joshua. Chapter 1, the Lord speaks to Joshua. What is that telling you? It tells you God speaks to Joshua. Yes, of course. But it tells you that Joshua is in communication with the Lord. For every major step of the journey, every time he's moving forward, the next thing's going to happen. That man was in communication with the Lord. And God was speaking to him every step of the way. That's personally how I want to live my life. I want to be in communication with the Lord. Here I am at the Jordan. God speaks. Here's what I want you to do. Whoo, now I'm across the Jordan. What do I do now? God speaks. I want you to do this. Okay, what do I do next? I want you to do this. And if you're in tune with the Lord, and if you stay in his word, he will continue to instruct you and lead you in the way that you should go. He speaks. He speaks through his word, man. He does. I love that God kept speaking to Joshua, kept speaking to him, telling him what to do. He'll do the same for us if we'll be willing to stop and we'll be willing to listen and take time to hear the voice of the Lord. So many voices, aren't there, throughout, like, just the world constantly speaking, and all the time it seems like there's always noise, always noise, always noise. You get in the car, boom, noise. You get out of the car, get in your house, noise. You get out of the car, you go to your work, noise. All the time. When was the last time you just had silence? You're like, well, when my kids were all asleep and nobody was, I just had silence. Whoa. That's pretty amazing, huh? Just sitting in silence, in solitude, and listening. And sometimes, honestly, when you get to that point, it takes a little while. It takes a little while to kind of, you know, because as you sit there and it's quiet, you're like, this is crazy, it's quiet. You start thinking about a million things. But if you stay there, and if you wait, and you just start entering into prayer, and waiting on the Lord, and communicating with the Lord, and listening to him, he'll speak. He'll speak. Well, the Lord speaks to him and he says, take for yourselves 12 men of the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. So 12 tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? Then you shall answer and say to them, the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. These stones, what were they? What was the purpose of them? They were to remember what God had done. So Joshua gets 12 guys upon the command of the Lord, pick up 12 boulders, 12 rocks, 12 stones, take them outside, set them on this side of the Jordan, on the other side there in Gilgal. And I want you to set them up as a monument forever. Why? Because there's going to come a time when you're going to have your kids there and they're going to say, What's the rocks for? What is that? Is that a piece of artwork?
No, that is, excuse me.
That is a monument.
Amazing.
Why? Because the Lord brought us over across the Jordan, and we came across and we pulled these stones out of the dry ground and we set them up here. And it's a constant reminder. And here's the deal. Here's what's cool about this. Every time, for the most part, the nation of Israel would go out to battle, they always came back to this spot right here, Gilgal. Always a reminder to them of what God did. They go out, they fight a battle. They come right back to Gilgal. Oh, hey, there's the stones again. Oh yeah, God's with us. All right, let's go back out. And they go back out, come back to Gilgal. Oh yeah, the Lord's with us. For me, you know, Gilgal reminds me a lot of the cross. It just does. Just a reminder. I go out in the battles of the Lord and fight the good fight of faith, but I always find myself coming back to that solid ground of, this is what it's all about right here. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the cross. This is what he did for me. He rose again. I come back to Gilgal. And then, you know, recharge and back on the battle, coming back there. But I think there's also something very important about this that the Lord did not want his people to forget. They would easily forget. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord told the people, when you get into the land that I'm giving you, when I take you into the land and I bless you and I increase your cattle and I increase this and all of that, here's one thing I don't want you to do. Do not forget who gave all of this to you. Don't forget. Don't forget how you got here. Don't forget where you came from and where God's brought you to. Why did the Lord say that? Because he knows our human nature that we're prone to forget. I think that's why we take communion. Jesus said, as often as you do this, remember me. Because we can forget. We can forget. Yeah, that's what it's all about. This is the point. And in addition to that, notice that the Lord said, it's not just for you. It's not just for you to see the memorial stones, but it's for you to pass it on to the next generation. You need to take what you know and take what you've seen God do, and you need to pass this on to the next generation in order that they might see this and they might live by that as well. You need to give it to your children. And when your children ask you, why do we go to church? Why? What's the deal with the cross? What's the deal about this or that? You can say in confidence, this is what it's about. This is what it's all about. We need to be passing that on to them. Each individual family was responsible for giving it to the next generation and passing it on. For me, I'm going to share a little bit of my heart with you tonight as it relates to passing things on. I have a huge heart for the next generation. I always love being around. I love to see young people coming into the church and hearing the word and sitting under the word, watching them worship, seeing that, passing it on to them because I know where they're headed. And hopefully what we're sharing with them and what's being passed on, that they can take that and they can run with that. That's big on my heart because that's the future of the church. If the Lord tarries long after you and I are gone, they'll be here. And what we pass on to the next generation makes a huge difference. And you look at how the church successively through the generations, things that have been passed on, and where are we at on that? How have we been faithful to pass this on? Are we faithful to show them and point them to the word and so forth? And so that's why I love being around young people and having that opportunity to share the word with them. And whenever there's an opportunity to speak to young people about the word or about Jesus, man, it's almost like, let me pray about it. All right. You know, it's just that quick, unless the Lord has something else, but that's just my heart. I want to see him grab hold of this and pass it on. And may the Lord raise up many more. And so they were to tell their children about it. And in verse 8, the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. Second monument. First of all, Joshua was told by the Lord, you take these 12 stones, set them on this side. And then it says Joshua took 12 stones and he set them up right in the midst of the Jordan where the priests were standing. I love that. I love it. Because eventually the Jordan would come back across and those stones wouldn't be visible. They wouldn't be seen. But Joshua knows they're there. It's those hidden things, you know, that the Lord's done that you might not be able to verbalize, but you know. You know what God's done. You have that confidence and assurance. You may never tell anybody how God did it or why he did it, because it's just not the way it should be. God's spoken something to you specifically to keep in your heart, something he's shown you. And Joshua set that up. And in a sense, he's saying, God, you were with me on this side. You were with me in the midst, and you were with me on the other side. You were there in the middle, and you brought me across. He knew that. Guys, stones of remembrance are so important. Every single one of you in here should have something that you can look back to and see the faithfulness of God. They are markers along the road that God's taking you to glory. Everywhere along the way, as a Christian, there are places where you can say, God provided for me there. I didn't know how that was going to go down. And here's a stone of remembrance. I can look back. It's a memorial to the faithfulness of God. And over here, boy, this was out of control. I had no answers. And God, you came through. And I can set that up as a memorial to God of his faithfulness. And again, and on and on and on and on and on it goes. And I don't know what situation you're in right now tonight, what you're going through at this present time. But you know what? It's another opportunity for you to raise up a memorial for the Lord. And when you come through this, you're going to be able to say, God, you did it. How do I know that? Because you look back down the road. Look back down the road just a week ago, a month ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, whenever you got saved, and you look and you see the road lined with pillars erected to the faithfulness of God. And you take confidence in that as you move forward in the next step that you take. Amen? The faithfulness of God. Think right now in your own mind. Think of those stones of remembrance that you have. Just pause for a minute. Just think of them. And I know whatever is being brought to your mind right that minute, it's the Holy Spirit reminding you. There it is. There it is. Right there. That's what God did. You know that it was God. There's no other explanation for it. Don't ever forget what God's done. Keep reminding yourself, because the past faithfulness of God demands my present trust in him. He hasn't been faithful up to this point only to leave me now. He's been faithful all the way through, and he will continue to be faithful right to the end, all the way up to glory. It's exciting to walk with the Lord. Well, let's wrap this up in verse 10. So the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. The men of Reuben, the men of Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh, crossed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. And on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. So this event was amazing. God raised up Joshua and kind of confirmed to the people, this is the Lord. This is the guy leading. This is the direction we're going. And the people were aware of it. It was something, it says, that the Lord did. And then, here it is again, verse 15, then the Lord spoke to Joshua. Command the priests who bear the Ark of the Testimony to come up from the Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed its banks as before. That's just amazing. Amazing miracle of God. And the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what are these stones? You shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord did, Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the people of the earth, look at this, may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Not only was this to be a testimony to the nation of Israel, of how faithful and how mighty God was, and a testimony to their children of how faithful and how mighty their God was. But here it says it's to be a testimony to all of the nations of how faithful, how mighty God is. What he's brought you through, what he's taken you through, serves as a testimony to other people outside who don't know anything about the Lord. Isn't it interesting how people take note of the life of a believer when they go through something, and they watch and they see and they observe? Because you may spend time on your job or in your neighborhood sharing with people about the faithfulness of God and your love for God and the Word of God and just being a light, just living your life for Jesus. And they take notice of that. They watch you, don't they? And they observe you. And if you mess up, they're quick to, oh, you're a Christian, aren't you? Well, okay. You say, oh, you know, and they quickly jump on it and you go, oh man, I'm sorry. I apologize. Forgive me. And, you know, you're quick to repent or whatever. But isn't it interesting when you go through some difficulty or some Jordan-like crossing of impossibility and they watch you go through it and you have a testimony? You have a testimony of the faithfulness of God. And you can say, the Lord was faithful. I didn't know how it was going to work out. And all the nations, everybody else looks on and sees this testimony that you have concerning what God has done for you. Unbelievable how God can use us in that way. And it serves as a witness and a light to those who know nothing of the mighty hand of God, but they see it as it moves and directs your life and mine. There is a crossing over. There's a preparation involved. Time of waiting, time of sanctification, time of focusing on the Lord. And then there comes that point after the preparation of putting your foot in the water and watching the Lord part it and then crossing over and then never forgetting what he's done. Always remembering this was the Lord. Father, tonight, as we look at the lives of the nation of Israel, Lord, we see ourselves really. Lord, it's so amazing how we can identify with what you brought them to and what you took them through, Lord. And God, I thank you. And I pray for every person here tonight, Lord, who is at the edge of some impossibility, perhaps, Lord, wondering how's this going to happen? How are we going to do this? And don't have any answers. Lord, as they come to the edge, put their foot in by faith and trust and lean on the promises of God, Lord, you'll make a way. So Lord, this week, help us to keep our eyes on you, to keep walking by faith and not by sight. And Lord, help us to take time this week to look back and see the faithfulness of God. Be reminded of how good you've been. And Lord, it is a testimony and an encouragement to us that you will continue to be faithful in the future. We ask this together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me encourage you this week. Maybe a little assignment. Not going to be graded. But I tell you, it'll be a blessing to you. Take some time in quiet, in solitude, and perhaps write down some of those memorial stones in your life. Just go back and write down and highlight those things in your life that God has done. God's been faithful. You're here. And you know what you'll find? You'll find your heart just being so encouraged. Just find your, you know, just coming out of the depths and just being lifted up. Because you'll see how good God's been. It's hard sometimes when you're in the midst of something to see that. Because you see this. And the Lord's like, I know you see that, but don't forget about this and how I did. So take some time. Just encourage you to do that. And I can assure you, you'll be blessed if you do. God bless you. Have a great night. Look forward to seeing you this Sunday. Continue our study through the book of 1 Thessalonians. God bless. Have a great night.